Good morning, everybody. Looks like everybody's kind of slowly trickling in. I'm going to pray us in, and then we'll get into some announcements. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for just getting us here safely. I pray for safety on the roads as we drive home today after church. With the ice and stuff, I just ask for protection. Lord, I ask for your blessing upon this service, that you would just be with us today. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for saving us from our sins and showing us the way to you. Lord, we ask that you would speak through joy today. I ask that you would help us come closer to your heart and worship. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
I invite you to open your scriptures if you want. There's a pew Bible in front of you, and we're going to Luke chapter 9. You can find it on page 843 if you want a cheater. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So as we begin the season of Lent, we recognize that this isn't just a point in time, but the beginning of a journey. We're going on a Lenten journey, and we are going to listen to what Jesus has to say. So let's begin. After 8 days, Jesus and these sayings, after 8 days, Jesus said this. That's how this whole passage begins, after 8 days. So, and these sayings. So what are these sayings? What is it that we're talking about that Jesus responded after 8 days and said what? Well, first, he admitted to being the Messiah, right? People were asking, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And who do they say that I am?" Right? And so they were saying, Peter said, "Well, they say you're Elijah, or you're one of the prophets, or you're John the Baptist. But who do you say that I am?" Jesus said. And Peter responds with, "You are the Messiah, the Christ." So if Jesus were to ask you that question, "Who do you say that I am?" how would you respond? Who is Jesus to you? Is he your strength? Is he your comforter? Is he your savior? Is he your lifesaver? Who do you say that I am? After that, he began talking about his death. Jesus talked about how he was going to be betrayed and how he would take up the cross, that he would sacrifice his life for what God called, what God asked. And then he says that we must do the same, that we must take up our cross and follow him, that we must lay down our lives for the sake of Christ. Who do you say that I am? And then it talks about how they went up to the mountain, right? Jesus took these folks and they went up to the mountain. So have you ever been to a mountaintop? Have you ever climbed a mountain? When I lived in Colorado Springs, this was a big deal. To hike 14ers is what they called it. And there's a whole list of 14ers. Have you heard of 14ers before? Some of you have. So a 14er is a mountain peak that extends 14,000 feet in elevation or higher. So to hike a 14er means that you hike to the top of a peak that is 14,000 feet or higher in elevation. And there's trailheads that start at different places, right? And there's a whole list of them, 50-some, that you can hike in Colorado. And so I had friends that were checking off the list and trying to hike all the 14ers. And while I lived there, it was a great experience. So I hiked Gray's Peak, which is one of the easiest ones to hike. But even though it was the easiest, as I was hiking up, I had a protein bar, and I had to stop to eat. And I wasn't as out of shape as I am today, right? I was in decent shape, but to eat, I had to, like, stop and breathe and take a bite and chew and breathe. Like, the air is so thin that I had to think about breathing while I ate. I don't have to do that here. But that was my mountaintop experience. The other thing that I did was hike the Manitou Incline. And that was also really intense, right? You hike up this incline of 1 mile straight up. It used to be a railroad track, so it was made of railroad ties, and people would just climb this, and then there was a switchback on the way down. So that was on the side of Pike's Peak. But the point of both of these stories is, how do you feel after you hike a mountaintop? I mean, there is a real high, like a physical high that you experience as you look over all the scenery below and around. There's also this exhilaration of, I just accomplished this amazing thing. Oh my goodness, mountaintop high. So Jesus has taken his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, to this mountaintop, and all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses are standing next to Jesus. Elijah, who represents the prophets, and Moses, who represents the law, who both point to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the fulfillment of it all. That's pretty amazing, right? So they're all in awe of these folks, and they're like, hey, let's build some tents for you. You know, we'll build a place for you to stay. It'll be great. But they were very sleepy. It says that now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory. Have you ever been so weighed down with sleep that you had a hard time functioning, you had a hard time seeing what's around you and really taking in the world? It happens. It happens often. And sometimes we can equate that to a spiritual sleep, a spiritual slumber as well, where maybe we recognize God around us and we're paying attention, but all of a sudden we become so much more awake that we can see Christ in a whole new way, with a whole new brightness and a whole new hope. When I was working at Riverside, that was my awake moment. That was the moment where I woke up in a whole new way, where I had been studying at Kirkwood Community College for a year, equestrian science. It was great. I was a believer. I talked about Jesus. I was a Jesus freak. People might call me that. But then I went and immersed myself in Christian community, where we were studying the Word, where we were praying to God all the time, where we were leading worship for youth. It was awesome. And when I left that place, the people that I was in school with the year before wondered who I was when I came back. Because I was like carrying around note cards with scripture, and I was so excited to tell anyone about Jesus that I possibly could. Like, anything that I could bring up Jesus, any way that I could pray for someone, I was there by their side. I was like kind of that like super annoying Jesus freak, right? But Jesus woke me up to a whole new level, and it was so exciting. So where are you sleeping? Or maybe you're awake. Can you see the glory around you? Can you see what Jesus did as he brought the glory? And then God said those very precious words, "This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him." Can you just imagine, like, as the sunbeam comes in this morning, like, this is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. Oh my goodness, I just wish that I could have been there to hear the words that powerfully. That's pretty amazing. All right, so listen to him. How many words do you think an average person speaks in their lifetime? Any idea? It's a lot. Okay, so there are studies on this. And supposedly 860,341,500 words is the approximation of how many words a person speaks in their lifetime. 860,341,500. So how many words do you think are in the Bible? Any guess? I'm open to shout outs. What? Same number. All right, no, it's less. The KJV, the King James Version, boasts of 783,137 words. I didn't see anything else, but 783,137. So how many of those words do you think are Jesus' words? Like quoted from Jesus? 783,000. What? 1,500? 100,000. 36,450. So within scriptures, 36,450 words are Jesus. But now you've got the synoptic gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which sometimes there's repetition of words, repetition of quotes. And in those, there's 20,000, an approximation of 20,000 words that Jesus speaks. Okay, so let's talk about men and women a little bit. This is a little dangerous, a little dicey, so I understand that you can't completely put people in a box. But generally speaking, there are studies that say that women speak more than men. They use more words a day than men do. And I would say in my marriage this is probably true. Sometimes Weston likes to tell me things without using words, and it's really hard to understand. So I use a lot of words. So women supposedly speak 20,000 words a day. And men supposedly speak 7,000 words a day. Right? So all kidding aside, though, 20,000 words a day are what women supposedly speak. But Jesus' words quoted in Scripture are 20,000 words. It's not very many if you put it all together. That's as many words as I speak a day. It doesn't feel like that many. Might feel like more to someone sitting in the front pew. But it's all good. So, among those words that Jesus spoke, he said this: "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So I want you to think again. We're going to pay attention. We're going to listen to Jesus as we go through Lent. 6 weeks, 40 days plus 6 Sundays, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at about 15,000 words, 11,000 of which are from Jesus. So think about now, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Because who you say that Jesus is going to share the depth of how you listen to these words that come about from the scriptures. Who do you say I am? We're going to look at these words and we're going to pretend that we've never read them before. We're going to put all preconceptions aside and we're going to listen to the words of Jesus. Because God says, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." Will you listen? Will you take on the challenge and listen to him? I think it's a great challenge. I'm really excited about it. And although it seems very revolutionary, or very simple, it's incredibly revolutionary. Because in order to listen, we have to hear. We have to really hear what he has to say. And we have to be obedient to what he has to say. So will you listen? Will you listen? Jim Beatty is leading a conversation on email. He does this every Lent, and it's a wonderful thing. So I encourage you, if you haven't signed up for that, to sign up for that. In addition to that, Seedbed Daily Text is doing the same series that I'm doing, or I'm doing their series or whatever. So every day, if you want to follow along and you want to pay attention a little deeper every day on listening to him, you can find it at seedbed.com. You can sign up and get a daily email, and you can get an app that has all the devotionals. So there's a little 5-minute devotional every day if you want to follow along with that, and I would encourage you to do so. Will you listen to him? Let's pray. Most holy and merciful God, we thank you. We praise your holy name for the good, good God that you are, the Savior of the world, our good shepherd, our Redeemer, the one who transforms lives, the one who brings strength to the weak and hope to the powerless. Lord, you are the one on which we stand, the rock on which we stand. So, Lord, I lift up every concern, every anxiety, and every fear in this sanctuary and across this congregation. Lord, we pray for your hope and your renewal. We pray that you would speak clearly to each one. Lord, we pray over the challenges of the UMC as a whole. Lord, we pray that your will would be done in each space. Lord, we pray for hope and health and healing. Lord, where people are sick and ill and struggling, we pray for your healing touch. Lord, we thank you for nurses and doctors and technicians and medical teams and dentists. Lord, we thank you for x-ray technicians and people that run all the machines, that do the administration. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the staff in this congregation. We thank you for every child and youth. We thank you for every member and constituent, every visitor. Lord, we thank you for the scouts, God. And we ask your hand of blessing upon all of these folks. We pray that you would breathe hope, that you would breathe life, that you would wake us up where we have fallen asleep, and where our ears and minds are dulled, that you would help us to listen. Where there are walls, would you break them down? Lord, we pray that you would come in a whole new way today, that you would surprise us with your grace. And now, Lord, we pray the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Beautiful gift that we have a God who we can trust in, that we can hold tight to. So do that as you go today. Pay attention to the things around you and continue to listen to what Jesus has to say. Go in the hope and grace and love of God. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon podcast from the United Methodist Church of Mount Vernon, Iowa. For more of our podcast series and information on services, outreach, and Christian education, visit us online at www.umcmv.com. We hope you will continue listening to a portion of our ministry through these podcasts.